Good morning, everybody. My name is Susan. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be here today to share my story. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous more than half my lifetime, and that amazes me sometimes when I think about that now. I'll tell you a little bit about where I came from, and it's still only one day at a time. I think that's what strikes me the most about my time here in Overeaters Anonymous. I used to weigh 235 pounds. I've lost over 100 pounds in Overeaters Anonymous, and it's been a real journey for me, a real journey. I grew up in a very loving alcoholic home. I say that because my parents really did, still do, love me to death. My father is a recovering alcoholic, and it was a very loving home. I have one brother who's 4 years younger than I. I also grew up in a household where everyone was on a diet. I don't know if there are any other compulsive overeaters in my family, but I do know that I grew up in a house that had a very diet mentality. So there was always a new diet on the refrigerator, you know, every few weeks. And it was a big ritual in my family to weigh yourself first thing in the morning and then kind of announce to the household how much you'd lost or how much you'd gained. I mean, everyone just did that. You just got up in the morning, you did your thing in the bathroom, and you came out and you said, oh, I lost whatever, or I'm the same, or... And that's the way that it was in my family. Everyone was always dieting. And my parents are not small people, but I don't really feel like they suffered from the kind of obesity that I eventually suffered from. So that's how I grew up. That's just how it was. I was a projectile vomiter when I was a baby. I was allergic to the baby formula, and they had to switch me right over to soy formula right away. So it was kind of this love-hate relationship with food from the very beginning. I do have really early memories of food and of liking certain kinds of food and not liking certain kinds of foods. I was a very picky eater for compulsive overeater. And I remember sitting at the dinner table for hours and hours because my mom would, you know, make these regular meals, and I didn't want any part of the regular food. I wanted the good stuff. I wanted the sweets. I wanted the, you know, I wanted treats. I didn't want, you know, meat and vegetables. And so I would sit there for hours, and, you know, and she would just make me sit there, and until finally she would just give up. And getting me to eat vegetables was horrible. I never ate a vegetable until I came into Overeaters Anonymous. It was a very dramatic, it was high drama all the time. You know, I would sit down at the dinner table and I would have vegetables on my plate and I would, like, take a forkful and then I would wash it down, you know, with whatever I had to drink. And this is how it was. Until finally my parents just threw up their hands and said, forget it, you know. And so that's really how I grew up, you know, with this love-hate relationship with food. I was put on my first diet at age 10. It was this teenager's quick weight loss diet. It was a version of the Stillman diet, and because I had started to gain weight. And my parents, who both had struggled with their weight, didn't want to see their daughter grow up to be overweight. And today I love my parents, and I understand why they wanted to protect me from that, because if you've ever had that experience of growing up as an overweight kid, it wasn't a whole lot of fun. So I don't blame them for trying to protect me from that. But frankly, even at that point in my lifetime, I was beyond human help. My parents did everything that they could to try to get me to lose weight. I would say that I was probably a normal-sized kid until about grade 3 or grade 4. And then I started to gain weight. My mother says it was after I had my tonsils out. And I just started to eat more and just gain more weight. So that by age 10, and I was 9 when I had my tonsils out. So at 10, I had gained enough weight to apparently warrant a diet. So the summer between fifth grade and sixth grade, I went on my very first diet, and I remember drinking lots of water and eating lots of protein, I lost, I don't know, maybe about 13 or 14 pounds, which at that time was a lot of weight, and I remember coming back to school in sixth grade and just feeling like Cinderella, you know, like all of a sudden I was slim, and I got a lot of attention, and teachers noticed, and other kids noticed, and it was a big deal. And for the first time in my life, school shopping was not a barbaric experience, because back to school shopping had always been torturous. I could never kind of wear the cute clothes that everybody else got to wear. I was always in a bigger size every year. It was horrible. And I vividly remember going back to school shopping, going back to sixth grade, and it was really so much fun. And but it didn't last, because the minute that I stopped this diet and started to eat quote-unquote normally, which is how I ate, the weight just came right back on. So by the time that I graduated from high school at age 17, I had done many, many different things to try to lose weight. I had been brought to a hypnotist. I had done Weight Watchers twice. I had done something called Gloria Stevens, which was a exercise place where they made you wear a black leotard. I had gone to another diet club called TOPS, Take Off Pounds Sensibly. And all these diet programs are really, I'm sure, really great for people who don't have a compulsive overeating issue, as I do. So those just didn't work for me. And so I would lose weight. I could always lose it. You know, I could always lose it. But once I stopped the diet, I just gained it right back. I could never keep weight off. I never got to a normal thin weight in my adult lifetime until Overeaters Anonymous. I was never able to stop eating long enough to get to a goal weight. So by the time I graduated from high school, I had done all of these things, and diets of my own making, and, you know, not eating for 3 days, and all of that, just in an effort to lose weight. So I was up and down, up and down, up and down with my weight the whole time, from age 10 on. I got to college, and I did what a lot of people do in college. I gained weight in my first semester of my freshman year, but it wasn't just 10 pounds, you know. I've heard this said before, you know, I didn't gain the freshman 10, I gained a freshman. And it was the truth. I came back after my first semester, and my parents, their jaw just dropped. They couldn't believe how much weight I had gained so quickly. And so I was on fire, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to lose this weight. So I came back second semester freshman year, and I went on the big diet. And it was just another diet of my own making, you know. And I lost weight. And not only did I lose weight, but my roommate lost weight, because I always took everyone down with me. This is a powerful disease, and I wouldn't allow food in the room, and I wouldn't, you know, nobody could eat around me, and, you know, no, nothing. So how it was that she lost weight too, and she went to her pediatrician at the end of her freshman year, and he said he had never seen her so thin. And I lost weight too, but I didn't lose as much as she did, and she didn't have any weight to lose. You know, that's the insanity of the disease. She really didn't have any weight to lose, but I wouldn't allow food in the room, and that's how it worked. And I do remember ending that diet by binging, and once I picked up the first compulsive bite, I was off and running, and I couldn't be stopped. My experience is that I'm not one of those compulsive overeaters who could eat one day and then diet the next day and eat the next day and then diet the next day. I was either eating or I was dieting, and you always knew which one it was, you know, at any given time, you know, depending on my mood. So once I picked up that compulsive bite, then I was eating for months or years before it ever occurred to me that maybe it might be a good idea to stop. And so I did that. And I found Overeaters Anonymous my sophomore year in college. Well, I heard about it my sophomore year. There was a girl on my dormitory floor that was very, very slim, and she only ate three times a day. And whenever we would have parties, as people do in college, you know, in dorm rooms, and, you know, food was involved, she would never eat. And we always thought that was odd. So my curiosity got the better of me, and I asked her why she did that. And she told me about Overeaters Anonymous. And I was very curious. She gave me lots of literature. She gave me the Brown Overeaters Anonymous book and a red book called Compulsive Overeater and lots of pamphlets. And I read through them, and I totally related. But for some reason, I just wasn't motivated to try this thing. And so I gave them all the literature back to her, and I said, thank you very much. That was fascinating. And forgot about it for about a year. And then I had eaten my way through Christmas, and that's what really brought me to my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting, was the fact that we have these, you know, you have like a month-long break between your semesters in college, and I just spent the entire break eating, going from, we always had lots of food, and we still do in my family, and in the holidays, there was never a refrigerator big enough for all the food, so the extra food that didn't really need to be refrigerated that much always went in the bulkhead, because, you know, I live in New England, and so it's cold in the wintertime, and so all of the goodies went in the bulkhead because the fridge just wasn't big enough. And I just remember going from the TV to the couch to the bulkhead to the TV to the couch to the bulkhead. And I was in tears. My mother brought me back to school in January, and I was just in tears on the ride up. I couldn't stop crying, and I remember her saying to me, Susan, honey, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know, but I think it's the food. And so I found this girl. She happened to still be living on my dormitory floor. I went to a university with 10,000 students, and yet this woman was still there a year later. And I said, where are these meetings? And she told me, and there happened to be two on campus at the time. And so I went. And my experience with my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting was that I felt like I had come home, that someone was telling me that it wasn't a moral issue, that because I always thought there was something really morally wrong with me, that I was told that I had no willpower, that I had no guts, and that's why I was fat. I was told all these things in a loving way as an effort to get me to lose weight. And yet when I came to OA, I found out that I had a disease. And, you know, I wanted to stop people on the street and say, you know what, I have a disease. There is something wrong with me. And I just felt like this great weight was lifted off of my shoulders. You know, even before I lost a pound, I felt lighter going to my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting. I was probably about, at that time, 190 pounds. I did get up over 200 pounds in high school. I think about 206 or 210 pounds was my top weight in high school. You know, and then I dieted. And then, you know, I was up and down. But that was my top weight in high school. I was about 190 or so, I think, when I came to Overeaters Anonymous for the first time. And so I started working a program. I wasn't weighing and measuring my food at that time. It was simply just three meals a day in the dining hall. And I cut out certain foods. And I had a sponsor. And I lost weight. And I probably lost more weight at that time than I ever had before, although I still didn't get to a real goal weight, because then I picked up that first compulsive bite, and I wasn't prepared for the fury of this disease, because it was pretty terrible. Once I picked up that first compulsive bite, I lived in sort of a typical college town, very picturesque, and I just went from convenience store to convenience store to variety store and just ate my way down Main Street. And I couldn't stop, you know. And once I picked up that first compulsive bite, it was, I think, 2 years, 3 years before it seemed like it might be a good idea to stop eating again. I probably had gotten down to about 145 pounds at that time. And then I picked up the bite, and then I ate my way up to 235 pounds in about a three-year period, where I would sort of intermittently go back to OA meetings, but I couldn't put the food down. I couldn't stop eating. My most embarrassing moment happened after I entered Overeaters Anonymous, and that was I was really slim that first summer after OA, and I went to work at my college job. And then I picked up the bite that fall in college, and I went back to my summer job the following summer, and I had gained, I don't know, 70, 80 pounds. I had gained almost all of that weight back. And I remember wearing these sort of big dresses, and one woman, I worked in the bank, and she said, "So when is the baby due?" And I was just mortified. You know, here I was a college kid. I wasn't married, and I certainly wasn't pregnant, but I looked like it because I carried all my weight in my stomach, you know, and in my lower body. And I was just mortified. And so after college, after I graduated, I came back to Overeaters Anonymous, and that was in 1985. And I started going to meetings. I was 235 pounds. I was down on my knees. I was just, food had me by the throat. And at that point, I didn't really care if I lost any weight. I didn't care. I'd never been really thin in my adult life, not really thin. And I didn't, I have an expectation that I ever could be thin. But I wanted to stop eating. I wanted to stop having, you know, when I would drive past a drive-thru restaurant, I wanted to be able to not pull in. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't pass a McDonald's or a Burger King and not pull into the drive-thru. And so, and that's all I wanted. If I could do that, then I would be happy. And the good news is that I started coming to meetings, and I started going to meetings where people weren't eating sugar and flour. And I didn't balk at that at all. I thought, you know what, I'll do that. You know, I'll stand on my head and eat my salad in the middle of the street, if that's what you want me to do. That's how desperate I was. And so I went to these meetings, and people were weighing and measuring their food, and they were not eating sugar and flour. And so I did that. And in about 14 months, I lost 110 pounds. And I got down to a slim, normal weight for the first time in my adult life. And it was, I was just truly amazed. And you know, and I wasn't pulling into the drive-through restaurants anymore, and that was even more amazing to me. I found a real fellowship here. I made friends here, and I found a place where I felt like I really belonged, and it was significant. And then I started to study the 12 steps because I realized that all of the other times that I had lost weight, I always felt like I was sort of just hanging out there in midair. And here in this program, there were things to do once the weight came off. And basically, it was working the 12 steps. And so I joined step groups, and I joined AWOLs, and I started working the 12 steps to the best of my ability. And it was extremely, extremely gratifying. And yet, this disease is so powerful. I was abstinent for about 7 years, and then I decided consciously, that perhaps I was spiritual enough that I didn't want to get well too quickly, and that maybe I didn't need to come to as many meetings. And that was the beginning for me of about a 3 or 4 year period where I went to meetings sporadically, and I gradually lost my abstinence. Now, I didn't pick up sugar and flour during that time, but I stopped weighing and measuring my food. And I can tell you from that experiment that not only am I sensitive to certain foods and addicted to particular kinds of foods, but I'm also a compulsive overeater. I can overeat on anything. So in that 3 or 4 year period of this not eating sugar and flour but not weighing and measuring experiment, I gained 55 pounds, you know, eating buckets of yogurt and sides of beef and all of that. So what I can tell you right now about my life is that I have a life that's second to none, and it's true. It sounds cliche in here, but it's the truth. There's another thing that I carry with me a lot, and I also heard it here at a meeting, and I love it. And it, someone once said, you can't stay clean today on yesterday's shower. And so for me, I have to do today what I did yesterday and what I did the day before in order to keep what I have. Because, you know, I take a shower every day, you know, so it just made a lot of sense to me, that particular phrase, and I really do carry that with me. I So what's happened to my life? Food had me on the couch, and it immobilized me. And now today, I got married for the first time, over 40, and that's a miracle. Just losing 110 pounds and maintaining that weight loss, that's a miracle. Those statistics are not good, if you know them, about, you know, maintaining a weight loss. And so I feel that's like that's a miracle that's happened for me. A miracle that I got married and that I'm able to be married is that to me is amazing. You know, I never even dated. I was terrified of men when I was growing up. You know, they just there was something really scary about them, and so I'm grateful for that too. I'm a homeowner today. That's a miracle. And there's just so many blessings that I have today, and I owe it all to this program, and I just can't say enough about it. I do want to say that I have a relationship with my God today that is really great. I can get angry at God, and I have those moments where, those moments have happened a lot in the last 6 months, actually, where I've just stopped talking to him because I'm angry at him, and you know what, but I still call my sponsor, and I can say to my sponsor, you know what, I'm angry and I'm not talking to God today. I still get down on my knees, and I say, you know what, God, I'm angry at you, I'm not talking to you, but I'm down on my knees. and you know, that's a blessing. Like, God can take my abuse, you know, God can take my abuse, and I feel like he's just always there for me. And so I just want to wrap it up by saying that there's just nothing like this program of Overeaters Anonymous. And if you're like me and you've struggled with food, this is the place to be. Because not only will you get a slim body, which is a great thing, but the rest of your life gets better. And not that life doesn't happen, because it does. It does happen. In January, I had a miscarriage, and I was pregnant for 3 months, and I was thrilled because I was over 40, and the chances of getting pregnant over 40 are really slim, and yet on the first try, we got pregnant, and so I've been having a lot of discussions with God over the last 2 months about why that happened, and we've kind of come to an understanding about that, but you know what, life happens, and it wouldn't have helped me if I had been face down in a bag of junk food. You know, that wouldn't have brought my little baby back, and it wouldn't have changed a thing, you know. So I know today that food is not the answer, and that I have all the answers I need here in this program, and I'm really grateful. Thank you.